सजीवं साधितं सावधुतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादं सहकना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितं च हे नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी अश्चर्यदेशकारिणे हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनाबंधु जगत्पते कोपेशा गोपिका कंठ राधा कंठ नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पाथ रूप्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य अतिथानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीदासजी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
हरे कृष्ण thank you for being here this evening. Yesterday, we were discussing the idea, the truth of what it really means to be a Vrindavan. In Krishna book written by Srila Prabhupada, he writes how in Vrindavan everyone, everything is focused on giving pleasure to Krishna. Krishna becomes the center of our life. When pleasing Krishna becomes the purpose of everything we do, wherever we may be in the world, our consciousness is in Vrindavan. And we come on these holy pilgrimages for the purpose of leaving all of the distractions behind in our life, putting aside for some time every other responsibility we may have, to totally immerse ourselves in surrendering our consciousness to Krishna, in the association of devotees, in holy places. We are going to many of these very holy sites where Krishna or his beloved devotees have performed their pastimes. And on the spiritual platform, it is Nitya Leela. They are eternal. They are forever taking place. And they are revealed to us according to the extent in which we absorb ourselves in serving Krishna, in remembering Krishna. We come together for Hari Katha, for Hari Kirtan. We're taking Krishna's holy prasad together. During a yatra, we really have no other purpose except to fix our consciousness in devotional service. And those who are cooking, some of them rise at 2 o'clock every morning. There's a couple hundred people involved in cooking and washing the gigantic pots, engineers dovetailing their propensities to make railway lines for the pots, cranes to lift them, all with very simple natural technologies. The spirit is to serve, to be absorbed. Rupa Goswami explained that the nature of a real devotee who is really in contact with Krishna, is such a person has no inclination to criticize others. Sometimes it's a tremendous austerity, a person may have to point out certain problems in another, as a doctor may point out in a patient, for the purpose of helping, healing, uplifting, or protecting others. But if there is any envy in our heart, if there is any arrogance in our heart, such great criticism is a great impediment in our spiritual progress. So when we come to Vrindavan, we want to absorb ourselves simply in hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, and absorbing all of our mind and senses in serving the Dham, the devotees, and the Lord. In other words, to put Krishna in the center. To put Krishna in the center is the easiest thing. But unfortunately, since time immemorial, we have habituated ourselves through many, many births to put ourselves in the center. Somehow or other, we have to move this false ego aside. And when Krishna or his devotees are in this world, sometimes the Lord uses his most beloved devotees as examples to teach the rest of us. Arjuna was Krishna's dear friend. He loved Krishna, and Krishna loved him. But in Kurukshetra, by Krishna's yogamaya potency, he put Arjuna in a state of confusion, bewilderment, because he wanted to speak to the world through Arjuna. Here in Vrindavan there are many incredible lessons meant for us to really understand what is Krishna consciousness. Jiva Goswami when he was just a little tiny boy, he saw Lord Chaitanya when his father Anupam and his two uncles Rupa and Sanatan met Lord Chaitanya at Ramakeli. He saw his father and he saw his uncles who gave him such love, who he honored and respected and loved more than anything, because he was so small. When he saw how they were surrendering with such humility to Lord Chaitanya, how they bowed down, how they were crying, the types of prayers they were offering, it completely transformed his life forever. What great people do, common people follow. And actually, every one of us is expected to be a leader, whoever we are, whatever role we may take. We should be leaders by setting an auspicious example for people to follow. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell us that when he was a little boy, his father would invite a group of sadhus almost every night for prasad. And Srila Prabhupada's mother and father would prepare the prasad and serve the prasad, and they would have little Abhay, Prabhupada's name at the time, helping to serve the prasad. And when Srila Prabhupada saw this, it had a deep effect on him. He said every morning he would hear a little bell ringing, and his mother and father together would be worshipping Radha Govinda, the family deities. They would regularly take him to the Radha Govinda temple, a larger temple which was for their community. And in the evenings, they would be doing the seva. And the only blessing Gaur Mohan Day would ask of these sadhus, please bless my son that he will be a great devotee of Radharani. Now we understand that Srila Prabhupada was a Shaktivesh, special soul who came to this world for a divine mission. But still, the lives of great persons are to teach us. And throughout his life, in fact, the Krishna book he dedicated to his father, who gave him this example from his earliest childhood, and who his eternal father, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, brought such a deeper perception of the same principles of pure devotional service, putting Krishna in the center. Rupa Goswami wanted to teach this principle to the world through his most beloved disciple, Sri Jiva Goswami. In the Bhakti Ratnakar, there is a story of how Rupa Goswami was just completing the writing of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And at that time, Sri Ballabha Bhatt came to visit him. Ballabha Bhatt was a very, very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya. He was a profound scholar, a great Paramahamsa Vaishnav, and he was senior to them in age. So out of affection, because in those days, the different groups of Vaishnavas had very, very deep affection for each other and respect. So Ballabha, out of love, he said to Rupa Goswami, after hearing the Mangalacharana of his manuscript, he said, if you like, I will edit this for you. Oh, Rupa Goswami was so happy. He said, yes, you please take this manuscript and you edit it and make it better. While this exchange was happening, Jiva Goswami was fanning Rupa Goswami with some leaves because it was a hot day. And Jiva Goswami went to the river Yamuna, where Ballabhacharya was looking at the manuscript. And Jiva Goswami, he said, what is it that you're editing now? He told him, this is what I'm doing, because you see, according to one's bhava, or one's particular nature of love for Krishna, and according to one's particular perception of service, or from the angle of vision, philosophically we may look at something, there are different ways of understanding the same principles sometimes. One time, one of the most respected scholars of Sanskrit and Hinduism came to meet Srila Prabhupada. He's an American man. He said, "Swamiji, why is it that there are so many contradictions among the great acharyas?" And Srila Prabhupada's answer was quite shaking. He looked at this great professor, PhD, and he said, "There are no contradictions among the great acharyas." That was all. Because when there's a higher vision, we can understand that there are different perceptions and different lessons, and according to time and circumstance and place and particular mood of love, explaining the same principles in different ways. So this is what was happening. Sri Balabhavata was making some adjustments. Jiva Goswami, he had such deep, profound faith in Rupa Goswami, he didn't want to see anything changed. So he explained very sweetly, very nicely, very respectfully to Balabhavata that actually this is, just leave it as it is. And they got in a discussion about it, and Balabhavatachari was ecstatic to see the devotion, the chastity, the scholarship of Jiva Goswami, and he went, and very happily, he got up, he went back to Rupa Goswami, he gave him the manuscript, he said, "Actually, this doesn't need to be edited." Rupa Goswami said, "Why are you saying that?" He said, "Oh, your Jiva, he has already explained to me what you're trying to say, and it's perfect." And then he left. So what Jiva Goswami did was perfect, but Rupa Goswami wanted to make an example for us. He said, "Why did you disturb him? He's a senior person. He wanted to help me. Why are you so proud that you think that you know better? Vrindavan is a place where no one with even a single grain of pride has a right to reside in." Go home. You are not fit to live in Vrindavan. Now, Jiva Goswami was so humble. He didn't defend himself. "Guru Maharaj, I was doing this for you. I was trying to defend your honor." Jiva Goswami, from the very core of his heart, he agreed with what his guru was saying. That yes, I do have pride. I am not fit to live in Vrindavan. And he left. And as he was walking, he was feeling so much deep, deep remorse, and at the same time, he wanted to purify himself. So on the bank of the Yamuna, there is a very holy place called Nandakat. And according to Bhakti Ratnakar, he made a little hut out of leaves, and he lived there. And he was crying out the holy names day and night to rectify his false pride. That was his mood. There was no false pride. But that's the humility of a saint. Saintly people consider themselves to be the most fallen because they understand the greatness and the pureness of Krishna through experience. He would just eat. People would give him a little wheat and he would just put it in some Jamuna water and drink it. That was his diet. He gave up his sleeping, he gave up practically all eating, he was just crying out Krishna's names day and night. And one day Sanatana Goswami happened to be coming through that area. And the local people said, "Such a Baba we have in our little village. You can't believe all he does is just chant all day and he's crying in such ecstasy of love." And Sadatran Goswami went to meet him. And he saw that Jiva Goswami, his health was practically nothing because of the way he was living. And Sanatana Goswami went back to Rupa Goswami and told him. And Rupa Goswami came and brought Jiva Goswami. And Rupa Goswami personally, with his own loving heart, nursed Jiva Goswami back to health. As we have expressed many times, we cannot imitate this. And we should not be discouraged when we see the mountains of arrogance and pride in our own hearts, and we see that here's somebody who didn't even have a trace, and he was weeping and crying the holy names out to purify himself. But what we can understand very clearly is this is what our potential is, and how to reach that potential. By understanding the gravity of putting Krishna in the center of our life. Through seva, through service. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a story. There was an extremely wealthy landowner, or zamindar. His name is Subuddhi Rai. He owned vast tracts of land, had beautiful homes, so many people were paying taxes to him. He was like a king of a province. And he was very affectionately taking care of people who were helping him. And there was one young Muslim boy who was just a simple boy. And Subuddhi Rai took him in and treated him like his own son and was engaging him in various services and maintaining him. And one time that boy did something, they were digging a lake, and he was doing some things that were actually very dangerous to himself. He was doing it wrong. So Subuddhi Rai, you know, gave him a slap with a bush to make sure that this, and in his back, that, you know, this is dangerous, don't do this again. And the boy understood that he's like my loving father protecting me. But later on, that boy became a Nawab, a local king. Extremely powerful.
And one day his wife saw that mark on his back and said, "Who did this to you?"
I said, "Subhuti Rai."
She said, "He must be killed. You are the king now. You must kill this man."
He said, "I love him. He loved me.